handouts for this meeting, agenda, a governance committee reference sheet, and also the meat, so to speak, of our meeting today, which is the traffic transportation safety preliminary action plan that's going to be presented. So to start, we're just going to do introductions very briefly. I'm Gigi Lee, acting chair of China Chamber Group, as well as one of the vice chairs for Community Board 3.
So my name is May Lee. I'm the other acting co-chair of CWG, and I'm also with the Chinese Progressive Association.
John Leo, representing Community Board 3.
Consolidated Benevolent Association.
Mitchell Gruber, Valerie Light, Davis.
Michael Lalonde, National Mobilization Against Sweatshops.
Kay Webster, Mathinda Kalunga, Community Garden.
Annie Frederick, Hester Street Collaborative.
Triple Edwards, Chatham Green.
Danny Chen, Chatham Green.
Jennifer Long with the Chinese Progressive Association.
Hey, boy, I'm Michael Lee King.
Canara Shreya, Good Ol' Lower East Side.
Michael Levine, Community Board 1.
I'm Ed Melita, Jan Lee, Civic Center Residents Coalition, Ed Chan, local resident.
Hopefully. Did anyone raise that?
Not yet.
We have that.
Okay, thank you. Make sure everyone signs the sign-in sheet, please. Okay, so moving along. At the last steering committee meeting, Bella Jones, who has generously donated her time and money to run the listserv and website, mentioned to us that the Chinatown Working Group domain name, as well as the listserv, has costs that she is no longer capable of continuing to provide for us. And so we started some conversations about what are some of the parameters for fundraising for Chinatown Working Group. And we quickly realized that that won't be solved in the short term. So a decision was made in the next couple of months as we speak with the borough president's office and look at what some of the issues might be around Chinatown Working Group fundraising. For the next 3 months, Community Board 3 will be paying for the listserv costs as well as the Chinatown Working Group website hosting for 2010 as well as 2011.
Yeah, so I think I made this suggestion before, but if you use Google Groups, you get essentially a mail listserv for free. And if we kind of host on something like Google Sites, again, it's free, and it has the advantage of kind of collaborative updates, kind of a wiki-type update. So I strongly recommend that we consider those type of arrangements. To kind of, again, it's a theme of spreading the load, right? So that more than one person
Right, and that was raised at steering committee, but I guess the issue that goes along with that is the manpower to transfer everything, and there are some really nice options that are in what we pay for right now. And so I think in the next couple of months, as we kind of move Chinatown Working Group along, that one of... In addition to, everything else that we're doing and fundraising, we are looking at other options. But I think right now the easiest thing to do is to just keep things as they are with the technology piece.
Yeah, I would just add that a lot of the other public options offer the added advantage of transparency in terms of who you know, everybody gets to see the list. As it is, and everybody gets to kind of see who's a member of the site. You know, I think that's another goal that we should, you know, whatever solution is arrived at the end, I think that's a good solution. For example, I think there's a question of info@chinatownworkinggroup.org, where that goes, who sees it, and other things like that that I think we should kind of work through.
And we can serve, that's also on the agenda for the governance committee as well, so it's the issue is definitely going to be visited.
And you can also, I don't think you have to do one thing, you can still have a website hosted, you pay for, and then also do Google Docs.
Absolutely. But, some transparency would be good in all of that.
I think I just went to a meeting at the Borough President's office. They had a really good series on Speak Up New York, trying to give organizations how to organize as far as online stuff. Maybe Zella can give us a little more on that. The Speak Up New York thing. What do you think about that for some of us who might want to get involved and learn a little bit more before we implement it for this group?
The initiative primarily with the Borough President's office is to get a site that is resident from the Borough President's office up and running that would help community organizations learn more about online communications. There will be tools and templates and a variety of things on there that, and there will also eventually be online classes or tutorials in community organizing overall, but as far as the Chinatown Working Group itself is concerned, you have everything that they're going to put on there. I don't want to discourage anybody from being part of the forum because it's very educational, and they're talking about the use of Google Docs and as something that can be done offline. They're talking about live online meetings, a variety of things of that sort, but the first line of it is to get a database together of community groups throughout Manhattan, the borough of Manhattan, that is searchable, and to build a network of organizations. And that's probably what will be the impetus until at least the first of the year, and then it'll be another 8 months or so before more tools are up there for use. I'm happy to answer any other more specific questions, but...
No, I just want to point out one more resource. When the Fund for the City of New York came to the steering committee, the woman who was the president basically offered to help also direct us towards tools to help with collaboration, participation, the whole bit. So I think that there's no shortage of places we can go, but Google Docs is there right on your front.
Well, I can't use it at work.
Oh, yeah, you can't use it at work. Right.
Fund for the City.
I can't use it at work either.
Fund for the City of New York also offers, and I think that I mentioned it before in the executive committee meeting, it is a grant. It's you have to apply for it, and it would have to go to a nonprofit organization. But they do have a very interesting website set up that is done in, I think it's done in Joomla. It allows more people to manage the site. And eventually you might want to really look at that as something you want to handle. But again, you've got to be a nonprofit to take advantage of it.
The only reason I brought it up is so in case some people who are not technically savvy, they want to look into something like that to help them to understand a little bit more on how we can go forward, if we can go forward or not. That's for discussion, just in case anybody wants to get involved. Right?
Yes. It's a really interesting discussion. I recommend it wholeheartedly. But its initial purpose is for the borough president's office to get things going among community boards and associations that are set up to them.
But you had mentioned the costs. I just wanted to know exactly dollars and cents. What are the costs that we're talking about that for the maintenance? What you had mentioned, Gigi, when you opened the statement?
For the website service.
Right now you're on a server that is part of ICD Soft, and And I signed up the Chinatown Working Group under a bulk contract that I have, so that the cost per annum is, it varies a little bit depending on how many more sites I put on, but $38.50 a year. That gives you, it gives you 200 gigabytes worth of space, which is a huge amount of space. You could run Eater off of the amount of space that's there. It gives you unlimited email boxes. It also gives you a very large amount of space to upload any kind of file that the working group would want to archive. ICD Soft is also double redundant. It has locations in three places in the United States and a couple of them in the East, and everything is backed up with second and third servers, so that you're pretty well guaranteed that if there's a failure somewhere, your files are going to be safe for another. It also does automatic backup on all sorts of files. That's nice for the group because it means that your offices and your officers move around, but you do have an FTP upload for any kinds of minutes or documents that remains constant through here. The listserv.
Was that the only cost? Could you repeat that again?
$38.50. That is for the domain name, the name registration per year, plus the hosting services. That's $38.50. It's all in the one package. That's less than anybody else. I've searched all sorts of places. There are some that are for less, but you get a lot less space. You get a lot. You don't get all the mailboxes. You don't get the virus scan, the virus protection. You don't get the spam protection. You're up to the max and all of that kind of stuff. All for $38.50. I use the listserv. I use MailChimp. That's open to anybody to use. I've investigated other providers. Their services are the cheapest for an organization that is not registered as a nonprofit. There are a couple of services that will take a nonprofit, but you've got to give them your 501c3 registration, and usually you have to have less than 500 members. Right now, the CWG is hovering around that 500 mark, so that makes it a little difficult. At present, I've been paying for the listserv. With any listserv, there is maintenance on it. What you put out for mail and how you dress it up and how you format it really has to be done yourself. I do a lot of it. It can take some time, but so that part, there hasn't been any kind of a charge for. The cost for MailChimp has been I've been doing it on an as-you-go basis, and right now you are paying 2 cents per email that is sent out. Hopefully in the next week I will land a very good sized client. The client will get back down to 1 cent per email that is sent out as the charge to MailChimp for doing that. One of the reasons that I use them is that they have a very, very good record for getting mail through servers like other mail drop locations like Yahoo and Gmail and AOL. They keep their registrations up very, very well. Their rules and regulations are extremely tight, which is probably why our mail gets through better than a lot of other places. It doesn't get put into a junk mail. I also put a lot of time into being sure that whatever headlines we send out are not spam headlines that would ordinarily get dumped into somebody's spam on that. So the net on that is that I think over the last year, I'd have to go through my records. It's amounted to $400 and change just for listserv charges because we've been sending out an awful lot of email. It could be up to $500. I really haven't I haven't kept tabs on it because it was a donation on my part.
In a year.
It all depends on how often you send something out. I mean, if you send 4 emails a month, and you've got a mailing list of 500 people, that's 2,000 pieces. And if you're at a 2 cent per piece rate, work out the math. And if you do 4 mailings a month times 12 months a year, that's what you are.
So just to be clear, CB3 is okay with the varying amount without knowing what that is?
Well, I quoted on the 2 cent per email price for the next 2 months. What I've just imparted here.
We just don't want to be cut short by CB3 suddenly getting a bill and not knowing what it is.
No, she gave me a quote and everything.
And anybody
we're offering it 500 a year. Okay.
And anybody could take over the entire MailChimp amount, but you're just getting the benefit because I have other clients I'm sending through this contract of mine. You're getting the benefit of a lower per email rate, and hopefully I'll be able to bring it back down to 1 cent, and CB3 won't have to pay as much. But I'll know that in the next week and a half, and I've already paid for you up through January, or for email probably through the end of November anyway.
Once we have our fundraising committee, we pay for it ourselves.
Wasn't membership dues talked about at some point?
Yes.
It was brought up, but it was never just really discussed.
If yeah, you do dues, you've got to have a bank account. If you have a bank account, you have to have an identity.
We are not legal.
We don't have a legal identity yet.
You can have a bank account with a credit union.
Pass the hat.
Yeah, you can do that.
But right for now, for the next 3 months, we're okay. That's what we need just to get on. Give us more time to figure things out. It is a Band-Aid approach, and we are aware of that. Okay, we're going to move on to, there's actually just a brief update that we didn't put on the agenda.
Okay, so this is about the 3 preliminary action plans that we are going to vote on and discuss more in December. I think we have said we would do it this meeting, but we're not. So these are related to immigration and social services, education, and parks. So we are going to vote in December on whether or not to ratify them, whether or not this group will ratify them. They are all pretty much in the final stages. I think some of them have to go through the community board review. So that's why we're doing it in December, so that the community board 1, 2, and 3 can participate in the vote. They're being translated thanks to Kay and John, is it, from PS130? Is that John?
Or a
group of people, right? And also Kim possibly
Fong.
From the Senior Center.
Kim Fong from the BRC. Center.
From BRC, Ed Chen, and Spanish possibly from Damaris, as much as she can, we're seeing. So it'll be translated and hopefully available sometime in late, it'll be fairly late, like in late November. Yes, Matt?
I'm just curious, so boards 1, 2, and 3 are going to vote on these during November at their full boards?
At their, whatever meetings they have, yeah.
Okay.
They have a slightly different process, and some of them have already been reviewed by the community board, but now they just got to do this final thing. Like, we've been going to them since May. But yeah, they have to write the resolution. Yes?
Some of the action plans aren't available on the web. You click the link and you get a form letter.
All the versions that are being discussed at the community boards right now, I've confirmed with all of the chairs of those 3 working teams. The English ones will be up very shortly. We had to just update them into that 3 column format. That's done, and the Chinese ones are done. We just have to, work with Zella on where to, on the website to put them and how to make them easy for people to find. So right now, English and Chinese is done. It just has to get posted, and then we're waiting on Spanish translation to be done.
Spanish had been done, I think, earlier this year
for the town hall, but you know, there's been changes since then, so it's the revisions that need to be translated.
So all the PAPs that are done, or so-called done, are going to be available in multiple languages at one time. Is that the idea behind waiting? And then we're going to have them enough ahead of the time for our own discussion?
That is the plan.
Because, I can't read a document at a meeting and then comment.
No. We were aiming to have it up today, so there would be one full month, right? And so English and Chinese is done. We're just waiting for Spanish, but we will post the English and Chinese first. Since they're done, there's no reason we should hold up on that. And then once we get the Spanish done, we'll put the Spanish up.
And also, so I understand the procedure, the community board is going to approve it first before we take it to the CWG.
It's just so that it's the process that in order for the representatives that are attending on behalf of the community boards, in order for them to vote on anything that has a position on something, it has to be approved by their full board first. Having an approval at the full board then gives them power to be able to vote yes at this meeting, or else they would have to abstain.
Okay.
I'd like to address that issue. It's not just the community boards. Every voting member of the Chinatown Working Group needs to spend the month of November bringing this back to their boards or their steering committees or whomever your official governing body is, so that everyone, not just boards 1, 2, and 3, but every one of the 50-plus member organizations can come back in December and say, our governing body has seen it and authorized to vote us yay, nay, or abstain. But everyone needs to get voting orders from your governing body so that we can make a decision at the December meeting. All 50-plus voting members.
Right, that's why I asked the question about time.
Good question. Good question.
So that's really the purpose of, you know, putting it up so everyone can have. But see, we, you know, they definitely need time. Yeah. Any other questions about these three? Just with these three. Okay. So, okay. Now we come to the highlight of the meeting, the transportation plan, that we've been waiting to hear about for a long time. So Danny is going to. We have a presentation up here.
We also have copies up here.
Yeah, and it's also on the website. So if some of you already downloaded it or looked at it, then you can use your own copy.
So we're going to allot 10 to 15 minutes for the presentation, and then questions afterwards.
So this is essentially what was presented a few months back. There hasn't been many, if any, changes to this thing, but we can kind of go through it again, and if anybody hasn't seen it before, can kind of ask questions. Next. All right, so actually, sitting here is a mistake. I can't see it.
Do you need the lights to be dim? There you go.
So this is an area map, I guess, for some study area. No better as we flip through. I haven't looked at this in a while since like, June as well. So, okay, so let's... We need to go back. Okay, so here's a detailed map of the study area. Zella, right, that you pulled this together?
Yes. The red line is the direct routes, and the next one. The yellow outline is what I believe everybody agreed was it could be considered an affected area. Due to any kind of recommendations on what are the red or hot pink.
Right, and the process for this, was basically people who were involved and came to our meeting with the transportation committee opinion as to what a reasonable area was. My own kind of working guideline is that I don't really like to talk about any area other than my own, which is the Park Row area. So this map is kind of like the union of all the people's concerns who have been involved in the meetings. So
just one thing, Danny, about the other study area. The only reason that was up there was because Margaret asked us to look, make recommendations for traffic all the way to the river.
The first map.
Right.
Yep. First map. Thanks.
And so this is, again, taken from some other map, but it's essentially the core of the study area, which is Chatham Square. That was the Chatham Square reconfiguration.
Yes, that was a general map showing what the way the city looks at the routes. It's just a third way of looking at it.
When was that, by the way?
This map?
2 years ago.
2 or 3 years ago, right? This Chatham Square kind
there
of
was
thing.
There was the Parsons Brinkerhoff follow-up. Is this as-is existing, or is this proposed?
No, that was as-is. That was the existing. That map doesn't represent any of their proposals or any changes. That was the
right,
base
the map.
This is what we're looking at as a current road bit, and entry and exit.
So I think we're getting done with pictures, and we'll get to words, yeah. So basically, again, I think I've presented this several times before, but as a committee, we started off with establishing some guiding principles, and the guiding principle, I think there's four some odd guiding principles. Basically, the number one principle was balance, you know, that for kind of the issues of transportation, parking, circulation, and safety, strive for some balance between competing interests. One of the things that, in our own experience, we wanted to make sure was to foster community input in all these planning and study efforts. Again, from our own experience of having to deal with grand visions, was to try to not reject grand visions, but to advocate for kind of a small step approach to reaching a grand vision so that you don't commit to something that's going to be impossible to turn back. Take small steps, evaluate it, take another step, so you can kind of evaluate things along the way. And then there were specific parking and transportation issues that were kind of heavily raised in our kind of discussions. One was to reestablish lost parking. Now, it's interesting to note that when we presented this at CB2, the transportation committee at CB2 basically said no, or at least some members of the transportation committee said, no, why would you want to do that? You're just encouraging more traffic. So I think that there needs to be an asterisk that not everybody is in agreement about reestablishing lost parking. The reason that it's there was because of the extensive discussions having to do with the change of character since 9/11 of the area, that prior to 9/11, at least our neck of the woods, again, I know what about our area, and I don't speak for any other area. We were a site where families came to visit from out of town. Churches had congregations that had built up over long periods of time, and that after 9/11, the congregation, a large part of the congregation who don't live locally, were discouraged from coming because of loss of parking, essentially. So the reason that it's there is for kind of a 9/11 recovery type concern. But again, some people don't want that. Promoting public transportation to ease the kind of congestion, buses and vehicles. And that seems contradictory to the parking, but again, there's the one scenario that was brought up was out-of-town visitors. How do out-of-town visitors come and take public transportation from within the city? How is that done? Transportation planning, shuttles and things, and then pedestrian and cyclist safety. So those were kind of concrete items that worked its way into kind of the guiding principles. Okay, so we can kind of go through items, or I don't want to go item by item unless someone wants me to. I think kind of, I don't know what the people want. I don't really care to read these
things. I think
things.
You can just summarize because most of us can read it.
Right. So it falls into kind of major categories, I guess. So if you go back to the, under pedestrian traffic, there's the areas like the bridge work that's kind of been going on and planned for a long time. How to kind of deal with pedestrian spaces resulting from that. We can kind of go to the next one. At intersections like Canal Street, pedestrian crossings has historically been a big sore point for our area, so kind of focus on things. which overlapped with some of the goals of the Chatham Square reconfiguration, but we kind of felt that the Chinatown, the Chatham Square reconfiguration was kind of looked at the wrong place. Canal Street was a better place to look first, but let's go to the next. And on the right are kind of some of the references that relate to the items, and Gonzalo did most of the work in pulling together the references here. Access to transportation, again, shuttles again, transit hubs, those ideas. I think we talked about a shuttle between the kind of financial district in Chinatown and maybe Soho in Chinatown and things like that. Interstate buses, again, this was one of the big topics with the meeting with LaHood, kind of management of interstate buses, so that's a big topic. Next. I remember that when Jerry Bogos from the CACS came to meet with us, he talked about the possibility of a crosstown bus along Grand Street or Broome Street or somewhere around that area, maybe even Canal, if Canal got cleaned up. We talked about the Park Row issue. That was a big item in our discussions. That's item four. Item five, again, came from our own experiences regarding the lack of coordination between kind of agencies doing different pieces of work in the area, so to kind of address that. Item six is the loss of parking issue, the loss of the 400 spaces in municipal parking just prior to 9/11 was a big thing.
Dan, who was the person at IMTEC who was talking about possible Grand Street crosstown bus?
Jerry Bogos?
I just wanted to make sure I heard the last name.
Bogas.
Well, yeah, I don't know how to B O G
A S C Z.
Yes.
Yes,
he was.
I think there's a link to him in the references and to the study, which also has his contact.
Okay. Yeah. So we're on loss of parking. So looking at both a reestablished parking or maybe better enforcement for placard parking, which takes up spaces in the area. Jen, the city's trialing a kind of zip car type.
DOT
is trialing that. So one of our items there is the city's actually trialing at this point now. And the commercial traffic, again, Verrazano Bridge was another top issue in our discussion with LaHood. Being addressed by Nadler, hopefully, now. Possibly. Just kind of general coordination. So those are kind of the areas that we kind of focus or identified problems and kind of said that it would be great to have solutions in this area. And some of suggested solutions. All this is online on the kind of ChinatownWorkingGroup.org website. This is a transit map in the area. We're talking about buses and things.
That's the last map.
So that's pretty much it. Again, notes changed from a few months ago, but if anybody's new and has questions.
Not so new, but thank you for this. And I, in particular, on page 11, number 8, wanted to emphasize from an education and school standpoint that there are two elementary schools that are abut Canal Street, and the asthma rates have really skyrocketed. And it's untenable to have this much traffic crossing Canal Street as a through corridor, given that there are two elementary schools there, one with the playground right abutting the bridge. So anything that can be done to eliminate some of that traffic would be terrific.
We did identify the asthma kind of
right. And
issue
that's
along
very
Canal
well
Street.
Detailed in the CAT study that's referenced in there. A very major portion of it has to do with asthma rates. Tracked over a period of time, and their major recommendation is a reduction in traffic because of those kinds of conditions.
I just want to
be
emphasize
called out more, but the
I want to emphasize there are two schools.
Right. So I think that's what we're missing that in this report. So I think that's something that can be added. It just strengthens the argument for traffic reduction.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hi. I just wanted to point.
point out under point number three, one of the long-term solutions for parking is the suggestion of investigating parking underneath Sarity Roosevelt Park. And I think just given the amount of capital investment in that park, the Hessen Street Playground and other sites, I just think if that were actually to come to pass, it would be a real problem in displacing a lot of people who need that park. So
probably. I think that the same issues were raised with Columbus Park as well. A few years ago, they looked at Columbus Park. It's the same issue. Sarah Roosevelt probably has very similar. It's a bigger park. So what would you like to do? Would you like that qualified or stricken?
I just wonder if you could just do a more general note about, rather than investigate underground parking beneath Sarity Roosevelt, investigate underground parking community-wide rather than identifying.
I think that's fair, yeah. I think one of the things that we were tasked with kind of coming up with as concrete as possible, but there's reasons for not being concrete as well, so I think making it general is a good thing.
There's been some movement with Plan 2030 in the last 2 weeks regarding parking for interstate buses and a variety of other things that's beginning to identify some other locations. So I can provide that link, and if you want to change the verbiage in there, I can give you their reference point, because it's obvious that there are a number of other communities that really want to look at it too. So we're looking at it more as a citywide issue that may help Chinatown.
And if anybody reads this offline and has issues or questions, just email anybody on the Transportation Committee. Is there a list of members of the Transportation Committee that's available?
Well, who should they email it to, maybe? Can you give out an email address?
Well, you give it to me at least, but I think it would be good to kind of have it more than me, right?
A lot of members come and raise their hands.
I mean, you right. know.
So I think that there's a list of Transportation Committee members. Right, so mail it to me.
You're going to forward to everyone?
I'll forward to everybody. DWC at oddpost.com, oddpost.com. Danny Walter Charlie.
Okay, so I guess.
Question, where is this in the timetable for approval then by the group? We're envisioning this one, what is that next?
Yeah, that's the next thing. So I guess there's...
Oh, I'm sorry. I have one more thing. I'm sorry. Just Danny, in the this first piece under guiding principles, really nicely said, to strive for a balance in transportation, parking, and security. I was just wondering, I know you talk about pedestrian underneath there, but if pedestrian could be in that first piece, just because for seniors and young people, it's so key that,
right.
and I don't automatically think
right.
of that.
It's pedestrian as transportation.
Right, but I think there's mention of the last bullet item on
safety.
That first page. Right.
We can move things around.
Yes, it does say improve pedestrian cyclists.
Right. On the last bullet of that first guiding principles, I think there's mention of pedestrian.
Yeah,
but we can move things around. I mean, it's
it's just that you say it so well with
top.
Balance.
Yeah.
If I could add one thing, how can we follow? Can we ask the mayor's office to give, or the DOT to give us an update on the fast fleet now that they've enacted it, so that they're not off the hook, because they did 15 cars in the DOT and we're actually striving to match several cities throughout the United States, which have done their entire government fleet. So can we ask for some follow-up from that agency?
Our kind of elected official reps, is that something that or do we have
So, Jan, you'd like an update as to the expansion of the program?
The fast fleet was done as a pilot program through DOT. They're trying out 15 cars, and Washington, D.C. has their entire government fleet on fast fleet. So, we'd like an update maybe within a year to see if they're going to expand or fold the fast fleet program?
Within the current calendar year? Or?
Well, a year from its implementation.
Okay. Yeah, I don't see why we can't request, updated. I can't see you because you're behind the pillar, but there you are.
Yeah, no problem.
Why we can't request that.
Yeah,
sure.
Thank you, Matt.
All right, thanks.
Okay, so it looks like there was a few suggestions for changes in the PAP. I don't know if anybody in the Transportation Committee was taking notes, but probably not. So what
Thank you.
Maybe you get the information to Danny, and if anybody wants to, like, have this language or
or something, they can email to Danny if they have exactly. Oh, it's being recorded?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, even better. Okay.
Thanks, Jen.
Okay, so then the other question is the next steps. When is this plan ready for, you know, a vote with CWG? I mean, I think, first of all, everyone, as with the three other plans we're talking about, have to go back to their organization and get some approval on it, and the community boards definitely have to do that, or they have probably the longest process.
I would like to suggest that at least for the ones that are ready or close to ready, that they be kind of viewed kind of together, only because it'd be bad or difficult if there were contradictions or conflicts between the individual ones, right? So I could vote yay for something and vote yay for something else, and those two may still contain kind of conflicting goals or conflicting kind of actions, right? So, I'm not saying wait for everything, but at least the ones that are ready right now, I would like to kind of, you know, be able to see all of them before kind of deciding, right?
Because three.
Yeah, those three. Yeah, whichever ones are ready.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all about to be ready.
Right.
I'm talking about yours. You know, I'm talking about transportation.
Yes. So what I'm saying is that rather than a schedule, we should have a time to review all three to make sure that they're consistent. Right.
We've done that already, so
those three.
Right.
I thought they haven't been presented
yet. No,
they have been. Okay, all right. I missed a couple meetings, so.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay. I think they may be in the content, but all three have been, and we said the final.
Okay,
all
right.
So it's a good question to go back to your organization and maybe study it again yourself.
When would it come before this group? Because, again, the community boards have a tiny schedule. Are we talking about agreement to the boards in January?
Transportation, maybe? Right, it's too late for November, right? It has to be January.
Yeah, you can't bring it to committees. They have to go.
It's too late at this point.
Possibly do it in December, right?
You can't get it for approval in January.
Yes.
Which means it will be 1 month behind the other pass.
Right.
Okay.
That should work.
Okay. I mean, we didn't expect it to be in December, you know.
We would need you to come to community board meetings in December.
If I'm here. Or some member of the committee.
Right. Yeah. Committee. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when do we vote on it?
January.
So this is wait 1 month after.
So this gives everybody time until January to go back to your own organization and you know, review this thing with them.
Right. So the process that we went through with the three paths we're voting on in December, we're going to go through the same process with transportation, except 1 month behind. Does that sound okay? Yeah. Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Great. Report from Governance Committee. Okay. I think you sort of volunteered to do the update.
I think I was pointed at. the Governance Committee met. I'm loud. The Governance Committee met. I think we had good discussions. There was a lot of enthusiasm. There are issues that we're working out. I think everybody agreed that working teams need to be created in some fashion so that the work can be shared and so that people get experience taking that work on. Committees. Standing committees, thank you. They're still looking for clarity on the proposal for proportional representation. There might be a different way to say that. And I think good questions were asked and good observations. Danny put up a Google Doc site so that any thoughts can be shared on that site. And I'm sure he'd be happy to send you out that information. And there was also the suggestion that we continue to also email for the web impaired. I think the issue of co-chairs or not is still an issue. Different opinions on that. I think those were the main things. We talked about many things, but generally I thought the atmosphere was good and there was real exchange of ideas and information. And now you may rebut me.
And I'm actually going just backwards a little bit, so thanks, Kay, but I'm just going backwards a little bit at the
steering committee meeting, we had suggested three, because you know, this whole issue of governance is like, you know, you can go on and on forever, right, and never come to a conclusion. So we, the steering committee, we kind of came up with three areas that the governance committee should definitely cover. So there was this general area about the leader, the role of leadership structure and role, roles and responsibilities. The second area was about participation, decision-making, representation, and voting. That's kind of one general area. Then the third area was access to CWG, and that was more about some of the, consolidating some of the suggestions people had to make CWG more accessible. That was like the use of technology, you know, language translation, you know, even the meeting time. So sort of these three areas. And the last meeting, we, I think, discussed more to just kind of have like a general, you know, open-ended discussion about two areas, the first two, and then after that we're going to focus on each one a little bit more, so that in January we can, you know, hopefully come back to the larger group with a, you know, some concrete proposal or something.
And the next meeting is set for Monday, November 8th at ISS, which is 137 Henry Street between Pike and Rutgers. Danny will chair and Michael Leland will take the minutes. And we would all, I'm sure, love to have input from other people who have thoughts about how we should be governed.
Sorry, what time is it, Kate?
Six.
I believe that there were three, there could have been maybe more, proposals that were in front of the governance committee. Can anybody go through a little bit more what pieces were accepted or not accepted from one proposal to another, or how were they amalgamated, and can we put those proposals on the website so people can have an opportunity to see where this started?
Zella, the discussions at the governance committee were time specific, but I think the general conclusion was, as specific as they were, it wasn't the place to conclude them specifically, but to meet at a separate time, mm-hmm, and get more specific, especially with regard to the question of proportional representation. But there were really no specific proposals made at that time, except that question, which no one there was wanting or able to resolve anything. I think there were questions about the, you know, the co-chairs.
I think she's asking if the proposals could be put on, available to everyone else.
Right.
Which, well, I'm sure they could.
A couple
be.
Of reasons. I know that I put one in that was pretty specific regarding leadership, and I have not read the others, but it might help to get people to, number one, to come and participate in the governance committee meetings if they knew what the three current proposals, given whatever scope they are in, are at this point in time to argue for or against or yep, whatever. So
can we do that?
I'm thinking that it would be a good thing to put on the website since we're talking about democracy.
Did you want to put it on the CWG website, or should I put it on the Google Docs in the folder?
That's a question about the use of Google Docs versus the website. I got confused in some of the recommendations. So far, I, as a member of one of the CWG groups, I've received only one invitation to do a document that was from Douglas, an invitation from Google Groups. Are we using that to communicate with each other or the website? I got confused as to what role Google Docs plays and how we as members of this group would know there's something available to view. Do we need to, the website anyone can go to and see an updated version of anything. If the group is using Google Docs, how do we use it? How does every member see what is currently in discussion? Has that been discussed by the committee? And how we use what?
Well, for one, a printed copy was sent today. So what we're all looking at, just in case.
That's one proposal. Right. That's not the only one.
Yeah, just one of them was sent.
Right. That's the thing that was distributed today.
Right, it's right here.
Right. So that needs to go around.
That needs to be online.
Correct. So I think what's up for discussion right now is what is the extent of the use of Google Docs? Is it only limited to governance committee, or is it something we're going to implement Chinatown Working Group wide? And then separately, whether or not the materials being discussed at governance committee should be online and made available to everyone. So there's two separate things right now.
Well, can we just say the second one, not debate it, let's just put it up on the website.
Okay, no, that's fine. Yeah, that's so right now...
Let's put a link on there.
Right now, I think there's this document, Zell, there was your document. Doug, you have a document too, right? So there should be three documents that we will try to get online as quickly as possible.
Right. Yeah. I'll put that in the CWG minutes area. So that's pretty intuitive, and I'll put a special headline over it to explain that that's...
But if you're really interested, we would encourage you to come to the meeting rather than just posting stuff, because, posting stuff, some people have a lot of access to it, and some people don't, or some people don't even have time to look at it. But, but the purpose was to have the committee was to kind of... have a group of people who could focus on it and then present something, rather than 100 people or 50 people discussing it all at once, for a few months, so that we can move ahead. So we'll do the posting, but really, if you're really, really, have some time and interested, please come to the meeting.
Doug.
Stuff occurs in the meeting. It doesn't happen in Google Docs.
Right. It's also important to note that Google Docs, how do you convey at the meeting the conversation that happens in Google Docs, right?
Yeah.
And the suggestions or changes that might be made. And so that's another thing to consider, I haven't seen the document, so I don't know how they're being posted right now. I saw that you said something, but I haven't looked at it, right? And when we post them internally in our organization, there's some documents that are protected that you can't change. So they're just for view, and other times there are documents that you can add comments to, and you can also change stuff.
I think we all opened them for anybody to edit.
Yes. So the link that I sent out, I took the initiative of kind of creating a shared folder in Google Docs for this purpose, partly as an experiment in seeing how it would work, since we were tasked with coming up with suggestions, collecting them. So there's really kind of two modes, right? One is a read-only mode, right? So the link that goes out, anybody, people can Google and search for the documents and find them on Google, and you'll have a link that's read-only. If you want to participate in editing, then just send a request. I can add other owners to the folder, so that it won't be just me administering it, and we can add you as editor. The reason that you want to add editor is that the Google Docs tracks revisions, right? So that as you modify it, you can kind of track who made what change and go back to a previous version. It gets more unwieldy when you have anonymous edits, right? So again, that's a policy that we can kind of visit and things. But right now, anybody can read it. The people who volunteered to work on it can edit it. And if you want to edit it, then send me a mail. And if there's a concern that I'm the only one doing that, we can add multiple owners to the folder.
And is it going in one folder? All the communications in one folder?
Yeah, so the way that there's a lot of different ways for it to happen. Basically, I created a document. I created two documents. One's a README and one's a document. And what's been turning out is people have been adding comments to the document. People are welcome to create their own documents with their own proposals and all that. I mean, that's cool, right? That's the way to do it, right? But right now, people have been commenting on the document that I initially,
Through track changes, right? Like through.
Well,
a track
no, there's a comment facility.
Yeah. Through a comment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way because you have a proposal that is made, and you want to see what suggestions people are making without changing the integrity of the original.
Yeah, but some people want to make completely new proposals, right?
Well, that's a different thing.
Yeah, create a new document, right?
Right, that's a different thing. So people should do that if they feel that they want to do that. But a proposal that is made, I think, with comments, and that gives everybody the ability to read that, then I think you have to figure out how to bring that back to the committee so that you can then decide and synthesize what you're putting up.
Matt, Jan, K, Doug.
I've used Google Groups in the past for Google Docs. still log on and make comments and edits because not everybody has Google or Gmail?
Yep. You just have to sign in with your email.
Could I offer a suggestion?
I'll be really quick, though. I just want to emphasize that we're in an experimental stage with this because this is very new for the entire Chinatown Working Group, and I would encourage people to participate. But we have to remember that the way that things documents were getting written before were emails that were going around and around and around and around that some people saw and some people didn't, and then we suddenly got presented with these things. So this is an attempt at leaving all of the comments very visible so we all know and we all own up to our comments and to our changes, and so that they don't end up with a document that was changed and then suddenly appeared. So this is just an attempt to make it more visible. I think we should all participate with that in mind.
Danny, I just... unless I'm mistaken, this Google Doc is specific to the idea of proportional representation. It's not a document that talks about the structure per se, and that's an important distinction. That Google Doc is very specific to that. So if you're interested in that, that you weigh in there. But we don't have a Google Doc for the piece you're talking about, which is the governance structure. So we may want a place to put the governance structures. I'm not...
I can do that, or Danny can do it. We can create a different location for the governance structure and have the three proposals on there and allow comments as well. I would suggest... One of the things I'm worried about is putting the Google Docs location on the web, because we've got people from Hong Kong there. We've got people... They're about... 20 different countries that visit us on the website and all sorts of other folks. It isn't, if you do a search, you're going to find it, because on Google it's a public document. But I would suggest, rather than put the link on the website, we construct an email blast to our list, and we can give very specific instructions. Here's the ongoing conversation regarding governance structure. Here's the ongoing discussion about proportional representation, and here are the links, and this is how you do it, and you can contact Danny or someone else if you want to get more involved with it. Then that just stays within the CWG list, and it's not broadcast to the entire world. If you have someone, a neighbor who's interested in getting involved in the CWG, you can forward that email and they can do the same thing. But I'm a little reticent to just sort of...
What's the downside for, like, someone overseas looking at it? I'm not sure what the downside is.
Well, we're going to get confused. I mean, we're going to see a name on there, and we aren't going to know whether they're
no, so the edit rights. So the edit rights are requested, but the viewing rights are for everybody.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's cool. I don't, some people may get into situations where they're trying to explain something and it gets misinterpreted somehow, and there it is. I don't know how sensitive you all are to this. It seems to me that broadcasting this to the people who have expressed an interest in being in the list is not only a democratic way of handling it, but gives just a modicum of insulation between letting CNN see it on a regular basis and putting it on some show, you know.
Okay, so there's Doug, Mike, and then Damaris.
Two things, I guess. I mean, it is a little unwieldy right now. I mean, I have to do the equivalent of go outside like smokers do outside of work, because I can't get past the firewall issue.
Right. Google Docs is blocked by a lot of corporate firewalls. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a little bit of an issue. Mm-hmm. But to Jan's point about things just sort of appearing, I mean, here's an illustration of that. This just sort of appeared, very partial.
You were in the room when we...
No, I understand, but there's no... It doesn't say anybody's name. It doesn't say what it is. It's here. And it's got...
I asked you, this is the document that you were presenting on Google Groups.
It's not the only document. It's a very partial thing. It says the voting is woefully crude. I mean, it seems to have come from the governance committee. It's not. It's not something that we voted on. It's not something. It's something we discussed, and we are discussing in Google Docs. I'm just arguing for, you know, if you're going to put stuff
out,
everything...
Well, if you'd like me to bring a stack of papers next time, Doug, that were not voted on either, I will do that.
Well, it's just
the last 2 years.
Right, but it's just that one thing, Jan, has come out that wasn't voted on, and it seems it's got...
Well, I will
it doesn't say Danny, it doesn't say you.
Why don't we do that?
Okay, let's not match other paper to paper.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think...
That's not the issue.
I think the point is about knowing who is proposing what and owning, which I think speaks to a little bit what Zeller was saying. But I think, you know, it's important.
Not everybody has access to Google Group. Like, I personally actually... don't look at it very much. I'm sorry, but I'm trying to look at it more because I've become co-chair of this, after the co-chair of this organization. I'm trying really hard, but I can't.
A lot of things.
So yes, a lot of things. A lot harder. So, but it would just be good to have a little title on the, you know, a little line said, okay, this comes from that.
Right.
And just to be clear, you know, that's one of the proposals that has been talked about, but it's not the only one. So if you could put a title on it, that would just make it easier for everyone.
Can I go back to my original question, which wasn't answered? I'm going to say it in a different way. Everyone's having a party, but no one's inviting me. Get the point? Other than one invitation I got to view a Google document, I don't know how to find the others.
Mike,
I don't know
like
where they are.
Years.
I'm walking around the neighborhood looking for the bar, and I can't find anyone.
Right. So
how do I access it? Is there a name for the file folder? How do I get into it?
So
just tell me where it is. I'm good at it, but I don't know where to go.
At the very least, if someone who has access to the email list blast out that link, it's a read-only link that you can read. If you want to edit, contact...
How do I go now to my computer? I have Gmail.
Right, so blast out the link.
I'm suggesting we do an e-blast of the whole list.
I mean, yeah,
you can add to that more if you want to, but and then Michael, you'll be sure you have, everybody will be sure that they have the right link and to whom they need to correspond if they want to twiddle with it.
Okay, so...
But in answer to that question, the governance committee would have done it had we had access to the list.
Okay, so May and I have access to the list, and as a result of this conversation, a couple of things were determined. One, we will send out an email blast that invites everyone to join the party, and everyone can opt to either read or edit. Two, that this is an experimental situation with the within the governance committee, specifically to discuss the proportional representation issue, which may or may not be expanded once everyone starts showing up to the party, and we will put the proposals that three individuals have submitted for governance structures up on the website.
Okay. I can also put them in a Google Docs if somebody wants to.
No. Let's just keep one thing in one place and another thing in a separate place.
No, they would be in separate places. The question is, do you want comments on the proposals? If you want comments on the proposals, doing it through Zella's website is not practical because we don't have blogging or any kind of capability.
Correct.
So if you want to solicit comments on the documents, the other proposals, you could put it in another Google Doc folder, but keep it separate.
It would be a separate location, separate address.
The comments on the proposals that's being posted on a separate folder.
Yeah.
Comments?
So I think the question is, who do we want to comment on the proposals, right? So that the documents are available for everyone to see, I think, is what we should do. I think that that should, you know, especially the discussion that we're having, so it should be open and available for everyone. To open up a forum for hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe it won't even be that way, but to comment is another issue. So if it's on the website, anybody can see it. And if it's on Google Docs, to me, the only practical reason to put it on Google Docs would be so that people can add comments to it. But then the question again is, who do we invite to add those comments?
Yeah.
And do we limit that to this group, or do we open that up? Now, I think that the people who are posting these proposals on Google Docs should know who to make this available to. So Danny should know who he should be accepting, or if people feel that it should be open, then we should have that discussion. But my personal opinion is that I can't even imagine how anybody will be able to manage, let's say, 500 comments that somebody might, you know, that people might post, if we think that's realistic. If we think that
will
generate
that. What's the purpose of it?
Well, to address Zella's point, there are 500 emails on the listserv, but one of the functions of the system we're using is I get to see how many of you open the emails, and I can say the number is under 50.
Who opened them?
Who opened them?
On a regular basis.
Oh, I know. It breaks it down. Email address by email address. Who reads my emails and who clicks on the links?
It says you opened.
Yes.
Well, 50 isn't quite right. But she's right. Not everybody opens it. You can be assured everybody would receive the announcement, pretty much. But the open rate is really, it's about a third of what
we
said.
But I'm not sure that that's how we should be making our decision based on who opens it.
We should make
our decision based on what we think is realistic, what we think is the right thing.
So in the vein of this experiment, can we agree that for documents related to our governance committee, that they'll all be available on the Google Docs for viewing and commenting, and then we'll also just post the three submitted proposals in addition also on the Chinatown Working Group website.
On the Google Docs.
A separate Google Docs.
No, because the problem is some people don't know how to access Google Docs. I mean, it's already going to eliminate.
No, the read-only is just a link.
I can make it easier on the website.
Yeah, read-only is just a link.
Put the proposals on the website, and then I can put, if you would like to participate in this, please contact, and I'll put an email address and blind it for you. So that if someone wants to join,
I feel like that is the most amount of access
work for her, but that's fine.
For everything.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I think you have, if you have, people can respond by email if they don't know how to use Google Docs. They can use Google Docs. They can come to the meeting.
Yes.
Those are three potential opportunities.
And they're never meant to be substitutes for coming to the meeting.
Right.
And coming to the meeting is number one.
You can't use Google Docs. You know, you should look at the proposals and, you know, send your email to, I guess, the person who made the proposal, right?
Yeah.
The question still remains, though, who do we give edit?
Yeah, so for the government, yeah, for the government, the governance committee, at the meeting, a question was asked, who wants to work on this? So the people who raised their hand, identified themselves, basically got right access. Subsequent to that, I mailed everybody on that governance email list to see if, in addition, you want to now step forward, then I can add you as well. And some people did email me and said they want to after the fact. So I think we have about 7 or 8 people now. So, I mean, I think that's manageable.
But no other proposals were sent to you after that email.
Just comments to the document.
There were no proposals. The additional two proposals were not sent to Danny to upload into the folder.
Right.
I want to make that clear.
Right. No, the proposals were related to...
He specifically offered for the proportional representation.
Yeah.
So this was exactly right, and people who wanted to be involved contacted you, and you sent it out to an even broader group
If anybody else wanted to join.
To call again. Right. Does that mean to offer again?
Yeah, right.
But it's true that we don't have a system for comments for the other... offerings of structural.
I think there's another possible way of doing that. I have another third-party supplier, and rather than use direct emails from websites these days, I route them through a third-party service, so it's an inquiry form, and it goes to a very well-protected server, and it cleans out a lot of stuff, and then I blinded the third party sends me a copy of every inquiry that comes in, or I send it directly to a client. I've got several that it's the info. So what happens is that you fill out the form, my name is, my email is, and then there's a great big box, and it would be headed, this is my comment about the governance proposal number 8, and they actually fill it in. What ends up happening is it can be routed to you, Kate, or it could be routed to Danny as the chair of that. But
yes, Danny's the chair.
What also happens is that it collects all of those comments in a database so that we have a record. I mean, it's an incredibly complete record. You know that on December 10th, Joe McGillicuddy, living in Hong Kong, liked proposal number 1 except for item 3C and whatever they wanted to say about it. So all that paper can be generated as an attachment if you want to do that. You could also, if it were Danny, going to Danny, if it was substantive, Danny could send it. You've got the email address. You could send something back to this person and say, those are really great comments. Would you like to join our Google Docs group or,
that would
or
be
not?
That would be a form letter, yeah.
All right. So
whatever you
in
want.
In the interest of time.
So I could set that up. I could set that,
that
up.
That's my transition. In the interest
and
of time.
And that will be on the website. Right.
And because we acknowledge that this is an experimental process, can we proceed with what I had said before, that we will do an email blast out to all of everyone that normally gets the Chinatown Working Group emails with the invite, and in addition to that, the three proposals that were submitted in advance for the first governance committee to be discussed at that first meeting will also be available on the website,
right.
So everybody can view that whether or not you choose and or like to use Google Groups, and then we can get an update as we move along as to how that's working.
I second that motion.
Can I just ask that maybe for those of us who weren't at the governance committee meeting, May, what you said about the three different types of proposals being about leadership, participation, and access.
Those three areas.
Is there some way that could just be just in the title or on the top of it so we know what we're looking at?
The description of this document.
Yes. Leadership structure, voting structure.
So it's just clear to those of us who haven't been as intimately involved with the details of what we're looking at.
Yes.
That would be really helpful.
Yes. I second
yes.
that motion.
Okay. End of discussion. Okay. Last item on the agenda, community announcements.
I'd like to just say something. The Lower East Side History Project has done a wonderful exhibition about the history of the Bowery, bringing it up from Chatham Square's very early history up to what's happening on the Bowery today. It's free. It's open every day at the Whole Foods on Bowery and Houston Streets on the second floor on the Christie Street side. And it'll be up for at least 3 months, so go check it out.
Did you tell me all you
November 30th is a Bowery cultural event at Dixon Place, and it's going to be a panel discussion about the proposed Bowery Historic District on the National Register of Historic Places, and Bowery Entertainment Film, and sponsored by the Bowery Alliance of Neighbors and Two Bridges Neighborhood Council.
Okay, and the last community announcement from May and myself is that there are three future meetings scheduled that are on the paper, the agenda, the second governance committee meeting, a CAPS work team meeting, as well as an economic development work team meeting. And then for full Chinatown working group meetings for December and January, we'll send out an email, but we're going to stick with the first Monday of each month, December 6th and January 3rd. And we're now going to keep all meetings 6 to 8 so that they are post-work hours.
I just want to say that this is a really hard time for parents to pick up their kids and after school at 4:45. So I just want us to not, without
later?
A vote, make a decision that affects so many people, and it might still have to alternate. So,
okay, we can discuss at governance committee.
Just because it was ending too quickly, this meeting.
In the leadership of May and myself, we are ending our third facilitated meeting early.
Yeah.